Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Bowerly and Bellavia, News Radio 930 WBEN. Stupidest thing that you did when you're younger. Hopefully not fatal. Well, if it was fatal, you won't be calling in. But like the guy who hijacked the Horizon airplane over the weekend.
Hey, WIVB Channel 4. Any chance you could get a photo of myself that doesn't look like Lee Harvey Oswald's transfer? I mean, my goodness gracious. This is the worst photo I've ever seen
okay,
in my life.
I got to take a peek at this. Hold on.
It's the worst
mics.
Thing I've ever seen.
Let's see.
Look at this thing. Look at the photo here.
Oh, my. Click on it. I want to see the blow up.
I don't even know. Look at that.
Oh, my God. Dude.
Come on, dude.
Not only does it look like Lee Harvey Oswald, it looks like Lee Harvey Oswald a second after Jack Ruby sent a bullet into his spleen.
That's what I'm saying. That's a horror. Come
on.
Holy crap. I know I'm not going to be on the cover of any magazine anytime soon, but for the love of it, everyone's got a headshot.
I think Pride magazine would do great for you.
There's a ton of headshots. You could find a photo elsewhere that doesn't look like I'm passing a kidney stone. My goodness gracious.
Well, it's like,
what did I ever do to Channel 4?
You got to take your own picture and send it to Channel 4.
I'll
take a picture of you and send it to Channel 4.
That is absolutely horrible.
I'll superimpose a picture of you on some other guy's body and send it to Channel 4.
I wouldn't vote for that guy based on that photo.
That picture, yeah, it does you. That you don't. I mean, how hard would it be for Channel 4 just to go to our website and lift the picture off the website?
Just find any photo. Come on, off it. That's ridiculous.
Well, it's like for years, every time the Buffalo News ran a picture of me, they ran what I call the Snarlin' Tom picture that was taken at Lenco Lumber back in like 2002 when I was on remote. And like my kids thought it was the funniest thing ever that I would just call it, oh my God, it's the Snarlin' Tom picture. Now finally, and I will give credit to the Buffalo News for doing this, they finally have excised that from their photo library, and at least they're using one of somewhat more recent vintage where I'm wearing the tuxedo.
I feel better because they did a horrible one on Nick Langworthy and Chris Jacobs. Chris Jacobs looked like someone just like stole his wallet. He's like frowning and looking into the ground.
Jeez.
Oh, you could do a better job than that. At least, you know.
But, you know, I don't know what Channel 4's biases are, but does the one of Nate McMurray look like he's a male model?
It's a story on the Republican Party.
I don't know. Just curious.
But I mean, look, I'm just saying.
Or should I call him Slammin' Nate McMurray?
A little help.
Slammin'?
What is it? What do you mean?
Well, you know, Stefan Mihailu told us the story yesterday about Nate McMurray acting in a, quote, bizarre way at Channel 4.
McMurray denies all of that.
He does? That's interesting because I had a corroborating text last night from somebody.
Oh, really?
Yes, I did.
Well, I offered him if he wants to come on, and you know what? I don't think he's concerned about, you know, giving any candidate more attention. That makes sense.
Well, let's get back to the calls. But before we do, David, so really quickly, guys, many years ago, reputed local mob boss Stefano Magadino, who I don't believe was ever convicted of even running a stop sign in his life. Stefano Magadino.
By the way, that is how people have butchered Stefan Mihailu's name. I just want to say for the record, I've heard.
Oh, yeah. They've called him Stefano Magadino?
No, they've like Mahagalu or whatever.
Mihailu.
Machailu.
Machailu.
Yeah.
They screw it all up.
Well, it's like Skagitwada.
Right, exactly.
So, and Batavia.
Or yeah.
Bolivia.
Corfu.
First time I ever said your name, I said Bolivia. I kid you not. Ask Caputo. Caputo was my guest, and I was talking about that new candidate, David Bolivia. Yeah. So, other than being in Iraq, what has he done? So, anyway, Stefano Magadino for many years I think most people at this point will concede he was a big shot in OC, all right? He ran the Buffalo Territory, and he ran it with a pretty tight thumb. So, one morning or one day, somebody throws a dud grenade through the window of Stefano Magadino's home in Lewiston. Needless to say, the FBI were stymied. Law enforcement was stymied. This guy had no known enemies with the balls to do that to Stefano Magadino. Mike Hudson writes a book with the Niagara Falls Reporter called Mob Boss. Mike Hudson is on the show. Mike Hudson takes a phone call on this show from a guy who says, "Hey, Mike, do you remember the story about the grenade being thrown into Magadino's house?" "Yeah, that was me and my buddy. We were teenagers and we were playing a prank." So for all these years, some of the best criminal investigators with, I think, the state police, BCI, FBI, they all tried to figure out why and who threw the grenade, the dud grenade, through Magadino's window. Turns out it was a couple of dumb-ass teenagers. And folks, had those teenagers been caught, I think it's safe to say they would have been in for a rather stern reprimand. I don't think they would have gotten whacked, but I think they would have gotten a reprimand.
I'm telling you straight up, a dud, there's no such thing as a dud grenade when it's flying through your window.
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
That is a criminal felony. That person should be absolutely brought to justice. That is ridiculous.
Well, the statute of limitations was long gone, but that is in fact, I mean, and I have no reason to doubt, let's put it this way. The caller had far too much information about what at that point was an obscure story to just be yanking our chains.
I read a Medal of Honor citation once in Vietnam where a guy fell on a grenade, and literally the last words he said as he put his body over the grenade was, "I've got this one."
Oof.
Is that not the toughest? I mean, that seriously, is. There should be high schools and airports named after. That is, when you see a grenade, your first instinct is what? Try to kick it away, pick it up, throw it. There are people like Jason Dunham from Scio, New York, which, by the way, Buffalo Greater Niagara Transportation Authority. Let's give Jason Dunham the Buffalo Airport. I mean, what are we waiting
Why not?
For? I mean, seriously. Jason
Medal
Dunham,
of Honor winner.
Medal of Honor recipient, took his helmet, inverted it, put it over a grenade, saved his brothers in arms. But when a grenade goes through, I mean, that's in a war zone. You're out there eating a gabagool sandwich or whatever you're doing. Whatever this crime lord is doing there, the mafiosa guy, he's drinking his wine with breakfast, and all of a sudden, a grenade comes through your window?
Well,
come on, that's ridiculous.
Magadino, I will tell you something. In a weird way, I have some serious respect for the late Stefano Magadino, because when his cousin, Joe Bonanno, was making waves about wanting to become the new boss of bosses in New York, Magadino could have had him clipped, could have had him taken out. Magadino's guys kidnapped Bonanno, held him incommunicado for like a year and a half before he was released unharmed. So Magadino actually saved Joe Bonanno's life, and Bonanno went on to live a very long life, eventually retiring to and dying in Arizona. And I had a very interesting conversation with a very close Bonanno female relative about that on a vacation once, and she is literally one of the most fascinating people with whom I've ever spoken. And I know that she was not just screwing around. I know that she knew what she was talking about, because I would mention some obscure story that nobody would know, and she just immediately filled in the blanks.
You know, as a proud Italian, I'm a little offended by all the mob stereotypes.
Well, I could have used the Jewish mob.
I could have used. You could have. No one tells those stories. No one tells me a great story. Let me tell you about the Albanian mafia.
Oh,
nobody cares about that. Nobody cares about the Russian mafia. It's always the Italian mafia, the Sicilians,
because they were the. I'm sorry, but you know why? Because in the old days of organized crime, it was the Italians, and they teamed up with a lot of Jewish mobs to form what we now think of as the Syndicate of Organized Crime, the Commission, if you will. But in Buffalo, New York, it wasn't the Italians so much in Prohibition. The biggest Prohibition era gangster in Buffalo was Big Corny, and Big Corny was a Pole.
Well, yeah. All right.
So, I mean, a lot of it, I think, you know, obviously a lot of it depends on whom you speak with, but right. Big Corny was a Pole, and I'm sure there's some old-timers listening right now who worked for Big Corny or who knew Big Corny, and somebody actually wrote a book. Was it Mike Hudson or was it Mike Rizzo? I think it was Rizzo wrote a book on Big Corny.
But we're talking about your younger days, things that you did that you look back now and you think, you know what, showed some probably some poor discretion there.
Like that time you went into the mafia.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. Here is Joe in Lockport. Joe, you did something in your younger days. It did not involve hijacking a Horizon flight, but.
But, and I'm coincidentally, like, parked right next to where it happened. When I was about, I was 18 or 19, and I was with a couple of friends, and they, down where I live, I live right next to this canal, and they empty the canal during, you know, fall and winter. And we were playing down in the base of the canal, and we found a 38. And it was just, it was covered in rust.
Wait. A 38 handgun, a revolver.
So, yeah.
Wow.
You know, so, like, we're looking like, wow, you know, like, our first thoughts were, wow, geez, I bet you this was involved in a crime because, you know, here it is in the canal. But, you know, instead of saying, well, we should call the police. No, I got a better idea. Let's keep it. So you could already tell the direction that the story. So it was covered in rust. We, you know, tried to pull the trigger, like, cock back the hammer. It just wouldn't work. And we sort of got used to the idea that it wouldn't work. The chamber wouldn't turn, nothing. So, you know, we're getting comfortable. We're pointing it at one another, click, 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 you know, trying to pull the trigger. So I take it up to my house, and I sprayed it in WD-40. And I let it sit for like a half hour. So we go back out to the garage, and now at that point, the hammer cocks back. But still, the trigger wouldn't pull, and we're pointing it at each other, pulling the trigger. I pointed it between my own eyes, and I was pulling the trigger, walked in the house, showed my mom, who was terrified. I put it up to our dog's forehead.
What is wrong with you, Joe? Seriously, I'm stopping the story right now. This is ridiculous. We got kids listening to this.
Well,
thing.
We asked for the stupidest thing you did.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I'm sorry, but I think there's, if you did all these things, Joe, there are more stupid stories, I guarantee you.
I swear on my child's artificial valve that this happened. So, bring it into my room, and my mom was, of course, having a heart attack. So I swear to God, this is what happened. I point it between my eyes. The barrel is touching my forehead. I pull it away from my face and point it at the window, pull the trigger. Boom! I've never fired a gun before and since, by the way. I, of course, all of us were scared. I dropped the thing on there. I couldn't hear it. I didn't know it was that loud. My sister comes running in, sees my two friends hit the floor, and I'm screaming, and my sister goes, oh my God, Joe killed Jason. And so my mom calls the police, and the police we're like, oh my God, it didn't fire. And I opened my curtains, and all of the glass was missing out of the window. And my grandmother, because, you know, we're Italians, lives across the lawn, and in the side of her house is the bullet. Swear to God.
Okay, I have some follow-up questions, and I actually have a similar story from Bowerly family lore.
Anyone listening to this under the age of 21, that is absolutely unacceptable behavior. That is ridiculous.
You never, ever, 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 you just assume, I don't care if it's a flintlock from 1498, you assume everything is loaded and can kill you. Everything. Never point anything at anything you don't want to kill, ever.
Don't be friends with Joe and Lockport.
Well, hold on. Let's get back to firearm safety instructor Joe in Lockport. So they're playing in the Erie Canal after it's drained. They find this old 38. After some WD-40, Joe actually gets this thing to fire. Now, Joe, when the cops come, I mean, were there enough grooves and lands in the barrel that they could trace this thing to any known crimes?
I honestly don't know what happened afterward. It traumatized and it just changed me. I'm embarrassed to even tell this. I'm 43 years old. I'm still embarrassed. I'm still just as terrified. I just happened to talk to, you know, one of my friends that was involved in that. He lives in North Carolina, and he's just like, I think about that all the time. And then we're like, geez, I wonder whatever happened to that. And I always say, you know what? I'm going to call the Lockport Police Department and see if they still have a record of that. And now I'm definitely going to, since I'm telling you the story. And if they have it, I will email it to you guys.
Here's what I'd like to know. What was the serial number? When was that gun made? If they were able to get the serial number off that gun.
I don't care about any of that. Joe, let's do a public service announcement real quick. If there's anyone listening that finds a gun, what should they do, Joe?
uh, call the police.
Yes.
Don't touch it.
Leave it there. But I'm telling you, I mean, it was the most terrifying thing.
Don't touch the gun. Don't touch the gun.
Yeah,
you find
Joe,
the gun, you leave it. You don't touch it.
I'm glad you called in, bro, because if you know what, if this story saves just one life, it'll be worth the radio time. Thank you very much.
Oh my gosh.
Well, David, there was a story involving not a gun, but a round of ammunition, either 38 or 22. I kid you not, this happened back in the 50s on Colonial Avenue in Tonawanda. I'm not going to say that one of my brothers was involved, but one of my brothers was involved. One of the neighborhood kids found his dad's ammunition. They go out to the garage with a single round, and they're like 8, 9 years old, maybe, if that. They start hitting it with a hammer.
What? I mean, what?
They hit it with a hammer, and sure enough, you know what happens.
Of course, that's a bullet. That's what happens.
So one of my brothers got grazed in the leg by either a 38 or a 22.
Again,
thank God it was only that.
This does not, anyone listening outside of the Western New York area, this does not represent
no.
any, this is a 0.1% of our population. Nobody does this. That is so dangerous. Joe is lucky to be alive. His friends are lucky to be alive. The dog, everyone in that house, the neighbor is lucky to be alive.
Could have killed grandma.
You know what?
It's like Mark Twain. Mark Twain once said.
Can we just change the topic to like the stupidest thing you've done as a kid that didn't involve a firearm?
We can do that.
All right, because that's just ridiculous.
The stupidest thing you ever did that did not involve a firearm.
Thank you.
I'm definitely down with that because we don't want anybody getting any ideas from the show unless it's for educational purposes, and I don't think you're ever going to top that story for educational purposes.
No.
So take that as a lesson. One caller is making us kind of divert the topic a little bit, traffic around SeaTac was diverted on Friday evening.
As if you were swimming in the Erie Canal and lost your 38, that was obviously thrown in the Erie Canal for a purpose.
Yeah, that's why I want to know if they ever traced it to any crime and how long, like if they found it, I mean, if he's 43 and they found it 30 years ago, I wonder how old it was. And, you know, maybe there's somebody in a grave in Lockport from 1920 from Prohibition that got whacked with that particular firearm. Bowerly and Bellavia, News Radio 930 WBEN. So this topic is sparked by the tragic story on Friday. Well, it started off as like, whoa, what's this 29-year-old guy, part of the ground crew, doing taking off in a plane? Oh, he's flying it. Oh, he's doing loop-de-loops. Oh, look, fighter jets have responded. And then the guy nosedived and killed himself. Unknown if his original intentions were suicidal at this point, but we'll know more once they release the transcript of the cockpit voice recorder. But that beckons into our mind anyway the question, the stupidest thing not involving a firearm that you did in your younger days. Because I don't think we can take another story like that about, so then I put the gun between my eyes, and then I put it between the dog's eyes, and then I put it out the window, and I fired off around, and it went into grandma's house. I don't think we can deal with another one of those stories, just saying. But let's get back to the calls in WBEN. Here is John in Snyder. John, you're on the radio. Hello.
Hi. This doesn't involve a firearm, but it does involve the military. My best friend and I were about 13, 14 years old, and he had an older brother that was in the Navy. And his brother came home one weekend and had brought some souvenirs that proved irresistible to 13-year-old boys, one of which was a dye marker from a life raft. We thought that was pretty cool, and we thought we'd throw it in the pool of the people down the street that wouldn't let us swim in their pool. And I really regret this. I haven't thought about this in like 40 years, but I still regret it. We threw the marker into the pool in the evening, and then the next day we looked at it, and it was a 4-foot above ground pool, and those dye markers are meant to put like a 1 mile diameter in the ocean so planes can spot them. It turned that pool blood red, and they ended up having to drain the pool, and it stained the line. They had took the pool down. I still regret it to this day. It's one of those things like, what the heck was I thinking?
Well, did you ever come clean with them?
No.
Well, maybe they're listening now, and now, you know, maybe they now. I cannot imagine into a pool a dye marker. When you say blood red water, I believe it was absolutely blood red.
Oh, I was horrified. It turned my stomach. I still feel bad about it.
But, you know, there's another question that comes to mind to me, and that is, did you believe that you had some entitlement to swim in their pool?
Of course.
See, I'll never forget the time one of my youthful friends, it was right in the middle of a heat wave back in the early 1970s, and one of my relatives used to say that, you know, so-and-so is just using you because we have a pool and he wants to go swimming. So this kid shows up on the front porch one day in his bathing suit and he says, "What do you want to do today?"
Yep. No, this was about in the mid-70s, too. And I had pool friends, too.
Yeah. Well, it's tough. Well, now, you know what? Now that you've come clean, you can probably put this out of your mind now because all of Western New York knows it, and you have redeemed yourself with a life otherwise that has been perfect.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you. A dye marker. You ever use one of those, David?
Never, 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 never.
Here's Mike in Hamburg. Stupidest thing you did in your younger days.
Hello, Tom and Dave. You're the best I ever listened to. You guys.
Oh, that's very sweet of you. Now, tell us what idiotic thing you did when you were a kid.
Well, when I was about 16 years old, I was a little drunk at the time and a little high. And I had a girlfriend. It's Matt, actually, not a girlfriend.
I was driving backwards on the 90.
Yeah. Well, I was in the bedroom with her, and I'm thinking to myself, well, I think it's time to go down, right? You know, self.
Wait, time out. This is getting a little bit too...
Come on,
dude. Yeah, no, that's not a good idea.
We got kids listening to the show. We've got other people listening to the program. We don't need to hear about...
We don't need to know about scuba at this particular point in time.
I mean, if we're not responsible enough to handle topics like mature adults, then maybe that's the problem. They're mature adults. Maybe we should move on to something else, but this is...
Let's give it a few more calls.
All right, let's see. See if someone can redeem us.
Marty, redeem us.
Okay, let me get you off a speakerphone here.
All right, you have a story from your younger days that does not involve a firearm, nor does it involve lewd, lascivious, and prurient acts.
I'm in Cheektowaga, formerly a Riverside. This pertains to cars, race cars, street cars, or street racing. Years ago in the 70s, Ohio Street was popular with the street racing. So this is probably late 70s, four guys in a big 1968 Dodge RT Coronet. Has stock 383 because the high performance engine blew up, and we're heading north from back home from Ohio Street when they still had the thruway toll business at Black Rock area that they removed. Four guys floored 80 to 90 miles an hour, open headers, big wide stock car slick cars on there, blew right through the toll booth. Four guys in a big old 68 Dodge RT. That's what we did, man. Crazy as could be.
That's it?
And, would you blast through a toll booth going 90 miles an hour at 1 in the morning? Through a toll booth when you used to throw the change in the bucket.
No, I was one of the geeks who always paid.
Okay, so yeah, we did that.
If you want to have fun with me, come driving with me sometime, and you be the driver and I'll be the passenger. If you are doing 1 mile over the speed limit going through the easy pass lane, I throw a hairy hemorrhage.
This was floored like it had a governor on it. It wouldn't go no faster, but right down the thruway, blasted right through the toll booth, 90 miles an hour. All right, another quick story. Back then, we used to rent cars. So our friend Paulie rents a brand-new Lincoln Continental, maybe 77, 78, whatever, when they were still huge, four-door Lincoln. So we pile everybody in, and we go cruising, and over off of Military by Woodward, along the railroad tracks over there by Pratt's there, that big hump. So we're going to do a Dukes of Hazzard jump. So we get going about 50 or 60 miles an hour. Five guys in a brand-new Lincoln Continental town car. It had less than 1,000 miles on it. We proceed to launch it over that railroad track. We flew in the air just like the Dukes of Hazzard. Bam. Okay. Oh, that was great. That was fun, man. Okay, everything's together. We get back in Riverside. We go to get out of the car. All four doors were pinched because the frame bent.
Oh, I like this one.
Rental car, it had less than 1,000 miles on it. But
Did you mention it was a rental car?
Oh, yeah. So
what happened when you went to take it back?
Just Paul took it back and like, okay, here's your car back. Because it didn't have no physical damage. It just had to tweak the frame. because they went airborne over them. I'm sure you're familiar with them railroad tracks. They run along by Emsinger, where the old SBTA was. But this is at Woodward. When we used to cruise around, we used to go over that fast. But
wow.
We launched this thing. It had to be going 60 or 70. They don't want airborne, just like the Dukes of Hazzard.
Either Dukes of Hazzard or Streets of San Francisco used to have a scene in the beginning like that, as I recall.
Good thing we changed that subject, because with the guns and bullets, how stupid kids have ever said. I got about five stories I could tell you about that.
Well, you got two good ones. Always quit leaving them wanting more.
But that was good. The old heydays of Ohio Street drag racing.
All right, Marty, thank you very much. And those are the old days of drag racing. And, you know, I remember starting out in the business, I think several times a year I had to do stories about another fatality, Ohio Street, drag racing was involved. You know, police are still sorting through the remains to identify the victims. Here is...
Can I just say that if you have more than one a stupid story that you did, if you could follow it up with, I got a dumber, this is even more stupid. And then I did this. And then one time I was in a zoo. And there was a lion, and I gave him beef jerky.
Oh, don't even take. There's a story. I'm not even going to repeat the story, but back in the 1970s, some dudes did something really stupid at the Buffalo Zoo. And I'll tell you something, they were persona non grata for a very long time in the community because a couple of polar bears ended up being shot because of stupid stuff they did.
Well, how about that? Remember the big gorilla in Cincinnati?
Yes.
The kid falls in, and then they have to shoot the gorilla because the gorilla is trying to, you know.
Yeah, that was a tough call.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, because some people thought the gorilla was trying to help the kid. Other people said you don't know what a gorilla is going to do because, by the way, it's a gorilla.
But my point is that you would hope that some parent was there to watch the kid as he was climbing up the enclosure of the gorilla pen.
Well, that's stupid parent stories.
Right.
Yeah. Here is Joe in Buffalo on WBEN. Joe, keep this show on track.
Listen, this is beautiful because it doesn't involve guns or grenades, but it does involve a mob boss. We're kids, 17, 18 years old, hanging out, figuring out what to do. One of the guys we hung around with was the nephew of a boss. But he had a name. His nickname was Pumpkinhead, because his head looked like a pumpkin. So, of course...
Of all of the mob-related names I've ever heard, that is the one I would least want.
This is his nephew.
Oh, my God.
So what happens is...
Pumpkinhead.
What to do on Halloween? Well, you know what? Let's get some pumpkins and put it on his lawn. Meanwhile, the boss lived upstairs from the nephew. So we go around the west side. Not only did we take pumpkins off of people's porches, we took chairs, we took coffins, we took everything we could find on a porch that had to do with a pumpkin... and put it on this guy's lawn in the middle of the night, all right? So now he wakes up, and his uncle wakes up the next day, looks out, and there's probably, I don't know, maybe 200 pumpkins, chairs, everything on this guy's lawn that you can believe. Not only did his nephew get in trouble for it, but believe me, we paid dearly for that little prank that we pulled on this guy.
How did you pay dearly?
We paid dearly.
But how?
I don't want to tell you, but we were scared. I don't want to tell you how scared we were, but we were pretty scared when we got called into a room.
Oh, I think I'm reading between the lines now.
Yeah, so it was a pretty funny story among the, like the other guy said, about tons of them from the guys on the west side when we were kids, but this one was beautiful.
See, you guys in North Buffalo and the west side, you had all the great stories. City of Tonawanda has all the great stories. Where I grew up was boring.
Well, we did have a lot of great stories, but I think that was one of the best that we had.
But, you know, the other aspect of Buffalo's west side and North Buffalo is the people who grow up on the west side and North Buffalo, they remain, and to this day, lifelong friends.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I still see the guys I was in grammar school with and the girls, the guys I was in high school with. We still see each other, and that's one of the things that that is great about the West Side. One of the guys that we grew up with was in Lake Tahoe working.
Yep.
And he called his friend from high school. One of the guys he's working with says, "Who is that?" He says, "Oh, it's a guy I grew up in high school with." He said, "I don't even know where my sister is." He's
Hey, I'll name three guys: Mark Christie, Pat Annunziata, Dominic D'Antonio. They all grew up together, or knew people who grew up together, and they're tight friends to this day.
Yeah, so are we. Well, that's my story.
All right, thank you. Great story. Love it. Thank you. 803-0930. You know, David, I'm feeling a little bit jealous here because when I think about it, our neighborhood was so boring. It was so white bread. And the most exciting thing, and it's not like this would definitely count not just as a stupid thing somebody did as a young person, but a criminal thing somebody did as a young person. Believe it or not, David, way back when in the 60s, there were actually gang fights in the town of Tonawanda. I kid you not. And there was some poor kid who got stabbed, I think, walking along Eggert Road in Tonawanda when I was a little kid. So we actually did have gang violence in the suburbs. And by the way, it didn't involve Sicilians. I want to point that out.
My neighbors are 2 miles away growing up. I didn't have any, you know, there was no, our school bus ride was an hour.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break here on News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly and Bellavia on a Tuesday. So if you're just joining us, what prompted this little topic today? What prompted it is the young man, 29 years old, out in Seattle, who decided he was going to take controls of a Horizon twin-engine passenger plane and did loop-de-loops. I'm sure you've seen the video. Eventually, he nosedived into an area by Puget Sound. He did not survive the nosedive crash. That would be highly unlikely. Bowerly and Bellavia, WBEN. Now, David, you don't think that I or the our fellow listeners, you don't think that we believe that everybody of Italian descent or Sicilian descent is a mobster or even connected in any way, shape, or form, do you?
I think some people think that. I do. I know, in the 50s and 60s, if you were dating an Italian and, that was like, oh, they're connected to the mob.
Well, see, because my affinity for Italy and for Sicily comes not from that. My affinity comes because anybody I know of Italian or Sicilian heritage, they're very big on their families. And Italian women, Sicilian women, I find to be the best companions in the entire world because there's just something about them. They get it. They know how to deal with their men. And I know that I'm generalizing, but I'm generalizing a good trait. Very into family, very into friends, very into entertaining. And, what I love about Italian/Sicilian women is they tend to be strong. They tend to be independent. But at the same time, you will not find a more loving bunch of people ever. So that's where my affinity comes from. Plus, the mob guys wear great suits, too.
That's right. It's all about the suits.
It's all about the suits. It always gets back to the suits. Of course, the jogging outfit has replaced the three-piece suit, much to the chagrin of anybody in any mob movie made in the last 10 years. But no, please don't go thinking that. And like I said earlier, one of Buffalo's premier prohibition era gangsters was a Polish American. I mean, hey, we were a heavily Polish city in Big Corny's territory, so it only stood to reason that Big Corny, who was a Pole, would be the guy. Here's Paul on a cell phone on WBEN. Paul.
Yeah, I've been listening to some of your stories, and they're kind of interesting. Mine takes place about 50 years ago when I was a young kid. I was about 9 or 10. We had a guy on our street that he was one of them kind of guys you could never go on his grass. He'd go crazy. And every time we threw a football, if it went on his grass, he would keep it. So I heard him talking to my dad one day about a trip he was taking up to the St. Lawrence River. He was going to go fishing up there. And I thought, I'm going to play a little game. I fed his dog some X-Lax. I gave him about 5 little pieces of it and laughed all the way home until my dad said, pack your stuff, we're going fishing with Eddie. I said, what do you mean, Eddie? He goes, Eddie, and, the neighbor, we're going fishing. Pack your stuff. I said, where am I going to ride? He said, you're going to ride in the back seat with the dog.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I didn't.
Well, did the X-Lax have the expected effect?
It took about 3 months to pay for it because my mom told him about 3 months later that I was the one that fed the dog the X-Lax.
Well, I do not encourage animal cruelty. If you got a problem with a person, take it up with the person. Don't take it out on their pets.
Absolutely.
But at least, as Shakespeare might have said, you were hoisted by your own petard.
There you go.
In other words, you got covered with the poop you created.
There you go.
Thanks very much.
Thanks. Great show.
Well, thank you. It's gotten the maturity level has increased, I think, significantly on the show. So it is Bowerly and Bellevue at News Radio 930 WBEN. A lot of people want to talk about the stupidest thing they ever did when they were younger because, well, obviously that story from SeaTac Airport is, and that's a busy airport. That's not some rinky-dink airport. That's not like, you know, we're not talking about some connecting air. Well, we're not talking about some minor field. We're talking about a major metropolitan area's airport. I've flown out of SeaTac. I know, David, you have as well. You've flown out of every airport in North America.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a busy airport, but just getting a free runway and the time that it was done and the fact that, but I'm amazed at how quickly those, you know, you could scramble those fighters out there, and how, you know, they, and what they did was they kept him from any populated area. So had they not been up in the air, you know, who knows? He could have hit the Space Needle.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.